Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
Welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy Wednesday. We are getting into fall.
It's almost fall. I'm so excited. I love the fall time. It's my favorite time of year.
I know. And it's spooky season.
Of course. We love the spooky season. In fact, guys, I'm coming to you live, not actually live, from my hometown where I moved back to, Winston-Salem. Yeah. Shout out.
And where I live too.
So. Yes. Me and Savannah are once again reunited. And while we are still not recording together, that will be coming soon. But we have hung out. We did, in fact, go to TJ Maxx to buy some Halloween materials. You know, had to.
We did, of course. While we're recording, it's not even September yet, but you know.
Indeed.
You know, you gotta start early. Start getting all the supplies early.
Exactly.
Because last year I did not have enough Halloween stuff in my house. So I'm stocking up this time.
You have to. Literally all of my decorations are pretty much Halloween year round. I'm kind of always ready for Halloween. But I'm excited. Very excited. One thing I'm excited about is when I was living in Wilmington, since it's a beach, there's pretty much no, like, seasons. It's kind of almost always, like, winter, summer vibes.
Yes.
And living here now, I will get to see the leaves change. And I love that. I love seeing the leaves change colors.
I know. Like, when I lived there during, you know, college and we would drive back home, as you're driving, you see the leaves start to change.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh.
You're like, whoa, wait, it's actually fall.
I forgot what this was like.
Yeah. It really is crazy. So I'm excited for that. Most definitely. But anyways, moving on from that, in other news, there was a hurricane this week, Hurricane Idalia, and she did some severe damage. So, you know, praying for those people who had to go through all that, because we know firsthand how bad a hurricane is.
Yeah, we've been through our share of hurricanes.
Yep. And they're absolutely nothing to joke about, so.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, so hopefully things will be clearing up soon. It just happened, like, as we were recording this, like, still currently happening. So.
But we are getting into hurricane season, so.
Yeah, and that's,
or is
you
it
know,
ending?
No, it's just beginning. So that's kind of scary how bad that one was to be, like, one of the first ones of the year.
Yeah, well,
so, you know, at least I'm not there anymore, like on the beach, like, you know, I'm safe. My friends, you know, that's a different story.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say about that, but
yes,
moving on, I guess.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I forget what I was gonna say. Oh no, I'm just glad that, Taylor, I'm just glad that you've moved back here so now we can, like, hang out more.
Me too.
That's, like, a big thing. And we do need to figure out how to, like, record together. And then maybe we can do, like, a video episode or something.
Yes.
But I feel like both of our recording spaces don't have the room, so we're just trying to figure out where we can do it, you know?
Exactly. But plus I'm so stressed this week. That's why we didn't even, like, attempt to do it.
Oh, true.
Like, I still haven't unpacked any clothes that I have. I've been wearing the same outfit for, like, a week.
Oh, my gosh.
I have, like, 3 shirts.
Yeah, it happens.
So, you know, we'll have to unpack
moving
this weekend.
Troubles.
The stress. But yes, I'm so excited to hang out. We have a lot of fun things planned for the future.
We do.
I'm so excited. I wish I could tell you all of them right now. But unfortunately, you're going to have to wait to find out.
Yeah, but we do have some fun stories to tell you this week.
Yes, we do.
So I think, I guess I'll go ahead and say it. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Usually Taylor's going to say that, but I'm gonna say it.
Nice.
And also go like our Instagram post, please.
Always.
Okay. So I'm gonna start off with my story. So this week I'm gonna tell you about a place called The Road to Nowhere.
The Road to Nowhere. Ooh.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I get a lot of my stories submitted to me by people, and mainly it's my mom. So she submitted this one this week, and I was like, ooh, that looks cool. So, and if you do want to submit some stories, you can email us. Our email is below. And I have, if this sounds familiar, I've talked about the bus to nowhere before. Oh, and yeah. That was episode 109.
Okay, I was going to say, have we covered this before? But no, it was the bus to nowhere.
Yeah.
Which, that's a really good episode. Go listen to it if you haven't.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is the road to nowhere. So, yeah, maybe the bus can drive on the road. I don't know.
I was going to say, does the bus drive on the road? That's a glitch in the matrix.
They're in two different places. Oh, so.
Interesting.
So, probably not. But, whatever. This place is actually, like, close to us. Semi-close to us. We could go and visit it.
Ooh.
It's in North Carolina. In the Great Smoky Mountains.
Oh, yeah. Not far at all.
Yeah. So, have you been?
Yeah, I have been.
Okay. I don't think I have.
Well, honestly, I don't know if I've been to them in North Carolina. I've been to them in Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I was going to say, this story, it sort of takes place in Bryson City, North Carolina, like near there.
Oh, yeah,
and
I've
in Swain County.
Yeah, I've been there. Actually, my friend has a house there.
Oh, okay. So this is like near the border of Tennessee and North Carolina. And it's like you said, like Tennessee, like Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge area. So that's near where Dollywood is. So that whole area. But yeah, the Great Smoky Mountains is a national park. And in the 1930s and 40s, Swain County, North Carolina, gave up some of its land to the federal government to build this park and to build Fontana Lake. And it's a dam as well. A giant man-made lake with a dam.
You know how I feel about man-made lakes. Not too good about them.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like as I tell you this story, you're going to be like, why did they do this? Mm-hmm. But we're going to continue. Okay. So, this gets pretty interesting just right off the bat, because the lake and the dam, it was built as a project during World War II to provide electricity for Alcoa aluminum plants to you know, have electricity for the aluminum plants to make aluminum. Mm-hmm. And for the Manhattan Project.
Oh. What?
Yeah, so the Manhattan Project was at Oak Ridge National Laboratory, which was in Tennessee, and it, if you don't know, it enriched, they did this project to enrich uranium to make the world's first atomic bombs.
Mm-hmm. Oppenheimer, shout out.
Yeah, so they made the world's first atomic bombs with uranium that was made with this, like, power from this dam.
That's really crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah, I know. When it came up, I was like, Manhattan Project, what?
Right, I was like, hold on. I just watched a whole movie about that. That's really crazy.
Oh, they didn't mention it at all.
Not from being from North Carolina.
Well, so, like, the power comes from North Carolina, but it's, like, in Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
So, did they mention Tennessee?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But, yeah, since it's so close, like, on the border, it, yeah, they got the power from that.
That makes
sense. But, So, they started construction of Fontana Lake and the Fontana Dam, in 1942, and it ended in 1944. And unfortunately, hundreds of people were displaced from this area because of the building of this park and the dam. And people had lived on this land for generations, and they were just kind of just kicked out.
They always do this. When they're building man-made lakes, they always kick out people who were there first, which is just so wrong.
It's like the lake and the park area that they were taking, you know? So it was about like 1,300 families.
Oh, that's really a lot.
Yeah. So their homes were gone. And so was the like main highway that went through the area. It all got buried under the lake.
Oh my. Yep.
Yep. And the main highway was Highway 288. And yeah, now that section of it was under the lake. So the federal government, they promised to build a new road to replace Highway 288. And this could allow the residents to go visit their old family cemeteries because now they can't get to them.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Isn't that I didn't even think about the cemeteries.
Sad. That's, yeah, like, I know.
Like, oh, that's just horrible. Like, did they have to build the lake and the dam and the park right there? Like, you know what I'm saying? They didn't have to do that.
I mean, I don't know. I guess just because it was so rural and they were like, well, there's not a big city here. We got to take it while it's, you know, not that many people to displace, even though it is a lot of people. Yeah. It was still like remote communities.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, well, it probably doesn't matter as much versus like another area.
Yeah. Savage, but I get it, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah. Where was I? So these cemeteries, they were just like family cemeteries, I guess, because I mean, I am not as familiar with like rural communities, but you, I feel like, are because you have family in West Virginia.
Yeah, definitely.
So does your family have like a cemetery out there?
So we don't have like a family cemetery. There's kind of one really big cemetery that everybody in the town is buried at, pretty much.
Okay.
So it's not really the same, but there are people who do have family cemeteries. Like, I've been to them, but just my family doesn't have one.
Right. So I guess they just like set apart part of their land just to bury their family.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So now they're part of park property.
Oh, so that is so dark.
Which is, yeah, federal property. Thanks. And only, and you know, get this, it's only accessible by boat because of the lake. So yeah. And so the federal government introduced Lakeview Drive, and this road was going to stretch from like the north shore of Fontana Lake from Bryson City to Fontana. So like it was going to be 30 miles to the west. But unfortunately, as they were doing construction, an environmental issue stopped the construction. And I'm actually like, I couldn't find out what the issue was, but it just, everything I read just said an environmental issue. So I guess it's just like, there was something in the environment, you know, like that seemed too dangerous to keep going.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like if we dig here, you know, it's going to fall and I don't know. They just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So they stopped. And the road ends at a tunnel. And I know how you love tunnels.
Oh, no. You mean, like, the tunnel is open, but there's no other side?
There is another side, but, like, the road ends at the end of the
tunnel.
Like,
right after? Wow. That is horrifying to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You love a tunnel. But, so, this road, originally going to be like 30 miles, it is 6 miles.
Oh, wow. They didn't even get close at all.
Yeah. And on the other side of like the dead end of the tunnel is hiking trails. So that's nice, I guess. Because, you know, you're into the park though. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they kind of left it like this for a few years. And they were like, maybe we'll start construction again. We don't know. But then eventually the environmental issue was deemed too expensive and the roadwork was never resumed.
Oh, wow.
So the locals now call Lakeview Drive the road to nowhere because, you know, it just ends.
That does in fact make sense.
Yeah. It's a road to the middle of the woods, basically.
That is so scary.
Yeah.
Like, not only are we ending at a tunnel, but we also end right into a national forest where we know scary things happen.
Yes. And there's cemeteries out there.
Mm-mm. And there's cemeteries, like, under this water, too. Like, oh, no.
Well, I'm not actually sure if there's any under the water, but I know there's some, like,
within
on the other side of the lake. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still hard to get to, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, actually, like, nothing I read said that it was under the water, so that's good. But, you know, the old highway was under there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. To this day, there's still no road for these families to go visit the cemeteries.
Why?
But
not? I mean, I get the environmental issue, but
yeah,
I'm sure we could have figured out a plan by now.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. There is a plan, sort of.
Oh.
So, on weekends throughout the summer, and I guess... See, what I read said throughout the summer, but I feel like it's more than just the summer. I don't know. The Park Service, they have ferries that take groups of the residents, like, across the lake to visit the cemeteries.
Oh, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, they provide ferries for them. Or, you know, you can take your own boat. But if you don't have a boat, you can take the ferry. And they do this because they put on these things called decoration days. And also for family reunions. But a decoration day is where people will gather together to clean and tidy the cemetery. And they, like, bring flowers to decorate the graves and offer a prayer. And they sit and eat dinner, like a family dinner.
That's cute. I really like that.
Yeah. And it's sad because, like, if you think about it, like, they probably used to be way closer to home. And it would be easier for them to do this. But now they have to travel farther and across a lake.
Exactly. Only certain times of the year, like,
yeah,
that is sad.
Yeah. And for COVID, I think they weren't doing it.
Yeah, of course not. So it's probably been years. I mean, hopefully they've gone out there now, but
yeah, they have recently.
Good. But,
and they actually started doing this in 1978. So this was like, you know, the lake was finished in 1944.
Wow. So they really couldn't go over there for 30 years unless they had their own boat.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep. I know. It sucks. And so there are 35 known cemeteries in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
Wow. That's a lot more than I thought.
Yes. I know. And this park is huge, too. So, also, like, it's not just, like, you take the ferry over and you're there. Like, you still have to, like, get... They also provide passenger vans or something. So they drive them over to their family cemetery. Because they're, like, really out there, you know?
Oh, wow. It's like you have to cross the river, over the road, through the woods. To get to
over the river and through the woods. Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. I'm glad those people still go out there, though, to check on them. Like, that's so sad. That's a lot of effort to be put in to go.
I know. And then it's like, if these people aren't going out there, they're just, like, forgotten.
Forgotten. I know. Just... Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. So, as I said, there's 35, and they're only accessible by boat. And only 28 of them have the decoration days that are hosted by this organization called the North Shore Cemetery Association. And the other ones, so 28 have these things and like accommodations and stuff. But the other ones, so how many is that? Like seven other ones. Mm-hmm. They are inaccessible or they are not decorated because of like the family requested not to have it done.
Oh, that's a weird request, I feel like.
Well, I mean, I guess if you don't feel like going out there and you're like, I don't want someone else to do it.
Well, I guess. I mean, I would let somebody else clean my grave.
I mean,
if nobody else is coming.
Honestly, true. But I guess some of them are inaccessible too, which is even sadder.
Yeah, that's way worse.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like, can you imagine this happening to, like, your family? Like,
no. Oh my gosh. My family, sucks. They're very big on, like, cemetery upkeep of, like, all my family members. So my family would be very distressed if this happened to them.
Mm-hmm. See, I think about, like, my ancestors who are buried, but the problem there is my family, we live in North Carolina and they're buried in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if I lived there I would definitely go visit more, but yeah. That's the same for me
because all of mine are in West Virginia and I live in North Carolina. It's not nearly as far, so I do mm-hmm. go. We try to go every Memorial Day at mm-hmm, least to mm-hmm. go, but sometimes it doesn't always happen for me.
I just wonder, like, I mean I do have other family up there, so I bet they're keeping up with it, so
mm-hmm. I hope they are.
Just but yeah, it just would really suck if they were just inaccessible, because like that's the whole other thing.
Yeah, like inaccessible, like could you walk there, like if you got over to the island?
I mean, I guess maybe
that's just so sad.
Maybe because like maybe you would have to drive and then do a hike.
Yeah, I was thinking like maybe a hike, and then that's a lot because you also have to carry all the cleaning and decoration supplies.
Yeah, and dinner if you're gonna bring dinner.
And somehow you have to do all this before it gets dark because you're mm-hmm. in a national forest, and that's horrifyingly scary.
Yes, true. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so that's the whole thing. So these cemeteries, honestly, like, I didn't see anything about them being haunted, but I bet there are ghosts.
I can tell you right now that at the bare minimum, those people who are there, who are resting there, are probably very unhappy about their situation.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or
mm-hmm.
not there are stories, I'm mm-hmm. sure they're not happy about their situation at all. I would not be.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, I bet, I didn't really see anything confirming this, but I bet you can't bury anyone in these cemeteries anymore,
I'm sure that you cannot bury other people there.
Yeah, so.
So their families are separated.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, there has to be at least, a few couples or families that were separated. Their graves got separated because of this, because, one of them had to get buried outside of the family cemetery. And that mm-hmm. is awful.
That really is awful. Oh, that really hurts my heart for these people.
Yeah. So I guess we're just going to move by it. There's no good way to transition out of it. But I'm going to talk about a little bit of more like the spooky side of this road to nowhere and the park.
Ooh.
So, this is what you've all been waiting to hear about. Some ghosts and creatures and maybe some stuff out here. There's definitely a lot of stories for the Great Smoky Mountains park.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have all of them, but I have a couple here. So, there have been many paranormal investigations done in this area and at the Road to Nowhere. Just
Yeah, I mean,
I think I lost my train of thought there. But anyways, there's been many, many paranormal investigations. People have claimed to see like a glowing orb while hiking in a nearby trail.
Oh.
So.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it's pretty spooky. Like one of the trails that starts at the end of the road to nowhere.
I'm sorry, can you imagine like starting a hike and then you just see a glowing light coming from nowhere?
I know.
Mm-mm. I would turn around so fast.
Right. And there is also like a really famous legend around here. It's a Cherokee legend. And I do have the Cherokee name for this creature, but I don't know if I can pronounce it. So I'm just going to say the like English Americanized version, which is Spearfinger.
Ooh.
Yeah, so this is a character in Cherokee folklore. It's an old woman, or like a woman-like creature, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With a stone-like skin. She has like stone-like skin and one long, sharp finger on her right hand, and it's made of obsidian.
Oh. How the heck did that happen?
I don't know, but it's like a spear, so that's why she's called Spearfinger.
Mm-hmm.
And so she tries to lure away children who wander off.
Oh.
Which is creepy.
Spearfinger's a little scary.
Yeah. Oh, she's really scary because she, this next point I have, her mouth is stained with blood.
Mm-mm.
From children's livers. She eats their livers.
You're kidding me. It's the way that I've been there a couple times and had no idea about Spearfinger.
Yeah.
That's scary.
She's
good thing I'm not a child.
Right. She also clenches her right palm to protect her palm because her heart is in there.
Oh. Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. So I do need to, like, I feel like I should go more in depth with her on a different episode, but yeah, she lives in this area.
So basically, I have never heard of such a thing. That is horrifying.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it either, but.
Like, is that just to get kids to not wander off in the woods?
Yeah, I think that's really the main thing.
That would get me to not wander off in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I guess Cherokee tribes used to live around here, and they would just tell their children that story to get them to not wander off from home, you know?
Yeah.
Which, that's just such a creepy story, like, why would you tell your kids that? But, right. You know,
like whatever. You're gonna really scare them. You could have just said, I don't know, bears, mountain lions, panthers, right, like, those things are so scary.
Yeah. I don't
know. Nope, except his Spearfinger.
Yeah, I know. So there is another little ghosty story. So an old settler apparently was killed in this area while looking for his daughter in the woods. Near one of the small communities that existed on what is now at the north shore of Lake Fontana. He was like going around looking for his daughter and was killed or died. And today, hikers along the trails, like near the North Shore area, they tell stories of encountering a light that leads them to safety. So maybe that's connected to the orb. And maybe that's what that is.
Okay, well, that's far less scary of an orb than if it is like leading you to safety. That's sad, but also really cool.
Yeah. So that's the ghost of a father guiding people so they don't have the same fate as him and his daughter.
That is really sweet. I was going to say, what if his daughter got by Spearfinger?
Oh my gosh.
Like, what if it's actually all of the legend in one?
It's all connected.
Yeah.
It's all connected. Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. So the last little thing I have is before I move on with that, I was thinking about possible ghosts of the people in the cemeteries, but I really didn't see anything about those. So yeah, I guess, you know, they're probably just, those legends aren't online. They're just, you know, within the families and the communities that go there, probably.
Definitely. Or you also have to think, like, if these people are only traveling over there, like, a couple times a year, if even that, they probably just don't have experiences because nobody's over there.
Yeah, that could be it, too.
You know,
yeah.
Like, maybe the ghosts are very active, but they only go one day out of the year, so that, you know, they don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Possible.
Hmm. Yeah. So I do have one last thing. There was like a legal issue that has been going on because the road was never finished. And it was resolved in 2010, actually. And the U.S. Department of Interior, they signed a settlement to pay Swain County $52 million because they didn't build the road.
$52 million is so much money.
Yeah, well, I guess, I feel like it sounded like it was going to cost more to finish building the road, so.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's still a lot of money.
Yeah. So, with that money, they're using it to build up the park, and they're doing work on the road a little bit. They're actually closing it right now. It has been closed since August 14th, and they're going to reopen it in November 14th. And they're completely reconstructing the road and replacing guardrails. They're going to have, like, more accessible parking spaces and new road signs and, like, repairing drainage systems. So they're doing, like, a whole redo of this road and making it, like, more of an attraction, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
So
we should maybe go when it reopens in November.
Yes, I feel like it'd be cool to go see the road to nowhere.
It would be. I mean, I'm going to be scared.
Of the do you want to go? Should we go on a decoration day and go to one
like,
of the
I really think that we probably should. And go decorate some of the graves that, like, don't have any decorations.
Yeah, like, I wonder if, like, how you can get on a list to do it. Like, do you have to sign up? Like, right, I need to look into it.
Yeah, we should.
Like, do you have to be one of the family members? Do right. other people do it? I don't know.
We should definitely look that up.
Yeah. So yeah, that is the road to nowhere, and, you know, the cemeteries and the Smoky Mountains.
Wow, I feel like I learned so much from that. That's
crazy. I know.
I don't know how I didn't know so cool. any of that.
Yeah, and I thought it was going to be a little bit spookier, and I guess it was spooky because, you know, cemeteries just yeah. in general are, but yeah.
Listen, the Spearfinger, she freaked me out.
Yeah, true. I know, we got to go more in depth of her.
Yeah, we need to find out what all she's about, because seems scary to me. Well, I guess moving along, it's funny that you did a North Carolina story, because I have actually chosen a Pennsylvania story for you, Savannah.
Oh, wow. No way.
I am covering the legend of the squonk.
The squonk. The squonk. Oh, my gosh. We learned about that at the Mothman Festival.
Yes, we did. And, you know, honestly, I remember seeing pictures of him, but other than that, I didn't really know his story at all, or I didn't remember it, at least.
Yeah, so I remember what he looks like, but I don't. Yeah, I don't know the story.
Oh, that's really funny. Okay, well, so the squonk is a cryptid, and it's not just one. It's like a species of them that live in Pennsylvania, and specifically the Hemlock Forest of northern Pennsylvania. Have you ever heard of that before?
Oh, no.
Well, me neither.
I think that's northern Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it is. Like, it is. Up in the top.
No, so like where
is that? Oh, I don't know. Okay, so the town that celebrates the squonk specifically is Johnstown, Pennsylvania. I don't know where that is.
I don't know. Not very familiar, but.
Well, good. You know. So a very fun fact is that Johnstown, Pennsylvania actually celebrates the squonk at what they call Squonkapalooza. every August. Oh. So unfortunately,
oh my God,
we did in fact miss it this year. But maybe next year, Squonkapalooza, because that sounds so fun.
That sounds amazing.
It's basically just like Mothman Festival, but for the squonk in Pennsylvania. So,
yes. Oh my gosh, we have to go to Squonkapalooza.
Squonkapalooza. Oh my gosh, I just love the name. It's so much more fun than Mothman Festival. You know, I mean, what really can they say? But Squonkapalooza, that's everything to me.
I love it.
Okay, well, moving right on into the story. The first written account of the squonk was from a book written in 1910 called Fearsome Creatures of the Lumber Woods, which I did not read, but really think I should, you know.
Yeah, honestly, that does sound like, it sounds like a good book.
Right? It sounds very interesting. The reason I didn't read it is because it's written in pretty old English and I just can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did read like some excerpts from it, but I just, my brain does not comprehend that type of language, you know.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like you have to translate it as you're reading it.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah.
It's so hard for me. It really is. In the book, the author states that these squonk creatures have migrated over time. So they originally are said to have started out like in deserts somewhere in the United States.
But deserts? Then, and they got all the way to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they actually are said to have moved from the deserts to swamps and then eventually decided to settle in Pennsylvania. And you may be asking why, because that seems quite random. And apparently it's actually been tied to logging camps being moved in the early 20th century. So basically, like, these companies would take down these trees from all over, and when they moved the logs, they would be shipped to Pennsylvania, West Virginia, all these like logging states, you know, and they think that the squonks like climbed aboard the logs and like, and that's how they ended up in Pennsylvania.
Oh, what?
I know.
That's interesting.
They're world travelers, the squonks.
Yes. I do want to stop you just for a sec. I looked up the area just because I was curious where it was, mm-hmm. and it's like an hour outside of Pittsburgh.
Oh. Okay, so, fine.
Just to let everyone know. And I have never really been over there, so.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, but.
Love that.
But, yeah, if we want to go, we should, like, go to Pittsburgh and then drive the hour or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're planning our trip. But right. Anyways, go back to your story.
We definitely have to go to Squonkapalooza. That's no question about it. Okay, so I know you already said you know what he looks like, but you people listening may be wondering what the squonk looks like. And fun fact, but also really, really sad fact, is the squonk is known to be the world's ugliest cryptid.
But, like, that fact makes him so cute.
I know. It makes me feel, it makes me love him even more. So the reason that he's said to be the ugliest cryptid is because it's said to have such misfitting skin that's covered in warts and moles.
Oh my gosh, no.
Which is really disgusting, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, when you say it like that.
Yeah, like, I feel so bad for the guy. And there will be renditions and drawings on our Instagram, so definitely go look at them. Because, you know, I can't lie, he is pretty ugly. But, okay, so the legend says the squonk is not only the ugliest cryptid, but it's also the saddest cryptid. He's depressed because literally due to the fact of how ugly he is.
That's funny, but like,
it is funny, but like, I'm not laughing at the squonk, you know, I'm laughing with him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so sad. It's said that hunters who are like really good at tracking have been able to follow a squonk using the trail that the creature leaves behind from crying because of how ugly he is.
What?
Which is really sad.
Oh my god.
I know. So it said literally this creature is like constantly crying because it knows how ugly it is and like everybody thinks it's ugly. Mm. And so it leaves a trail from the crying. So whenever you see like a path of water just like forming, you're like, oh, maybe it's a squonk.
Oh my gosh. I know. It's like, I'm so ugly. I'm just gonna go cry.
I'm so ugly. Literally, that's what he says all the time. So, because this creature is so easy to find if you follow the crying trails, Obviously, this poses a safety concern for the little guy. And when squonks are concerned or scared, legend says that the squonk can actually dissolve itself in its own tears and basically become a puddle.
What?
Mm-hmm. Somebody play In Summer by Olaf.
Right? Oh my gosh.
He literally turns into a puddle. So, like, if he gets too scared, it's just immediately you can see him and then suddenly you can't. And he melts into his own tears, into a water puddle, which is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy. And so I feel like this guy. I know. I feel like this scripted story is just so unlike any I've ever heard before. Like, what? He just seems like he has so much knowledge and emotion.
I know, because, like, all other cryptids are like, it'll get you, it'll eat you.
Yeah.
And, you know, take out your heart. Exactly. The last one I talked about, was it our last episode? I talked about one that was eating intestines.
Oh, I don't know if it was the last one, but definitely one recent. And yes.
Yes. And then this one is just like, I'm just going to go cry.
He's just going to go cry and turn himself into a puddle. Like, oh, it hurts my heart. The little guy. So yeah, but there is even more. So it's said that squonks are the slowest moving on moonlit nights, which as we are recording, it is a full super blue moon. So I would say the squonks are out tonight moving very slowly if you're in northern PA, which I know you guys won't hear this till next week. But, you know, as we're recording, Savannah, just know the squonks are going to be moving real slow tonight.
I can imagine it.
Yeah. But the reason why they are the slowest on moonlit nights is because they will try to avoid all bodies of water so that they don't actually have to see their reflections.
Stop. Oh my gosh. This thing. Oh my gosh. This guy, he just does not like himself. He has no self-esteem.
No, his self-esteem is so in the gutter. Like, you're not that ugly, squonk. You're really not. So not only do squonks have moles and warts covering their body with all this extra skin, but they also have webbed toes on their left feet only, which is super specific. So I want to clarify for our audience here. I do not in any way, shape, or form think that these things make you ugly because I personally have webbed toes.
See, yeah, I do not, but yeah, I mean, agree.
Most people don't. But I can relate to the squonk because I too have webbed toes. And no, you cannot see, not for free at least. But it is crazy. And so I was trying to look as to why they think that squonks only have webbed toes on their left feet specifically.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really find anything about that. So that's weird. Because I have webbed toes on both of my feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, strange. So here I have for you a very wild fun fact. So in science, there are some substances that are stable when mixed with solutions and some that are not stable when mixed with solutions. So a quick little science lesson for you here. So some substances that cannot be captured or isolated without actually decomposing have been called chemical squonks. So for example, let me break it down into easier language to understand. A molecule that contains like a certain type of acid can actually dissolve itself within itself. Just like how the squonk can dissolve itself into its puddle of tears.
Yes.
There are chemicals that are literally scientifically called chemical squonks that can dissolve itself within itself.
So, that's pretty cool, honestly.
I know. So literally in science, even squonks exist, which is crazy to me.
Huh.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool. And I think that's kind of one of the first times a legend has kind of been shown in like a more scientific light, sort of. Not any that I've ever researched anyway, before the squonk.
Yeah. They just like used his name.
Yeah. Just a little squonky guy. And also the squonk species actually does have a scientific name. Like as if like there people really actually think that these are real, actually really for real. The scientific name is Therestes lacrimosus. So very interesting. Okay. So yeah, you know, these are kind of sort of scientific.
Have any been caught?
Well, Let's go to my next bullet point, shall we?
Okay, sorry. Jumping ahead.
Perfect timing, honestly. Allegedly, a man by the name of J.P. Wintling claims to have caught himself a squonk before. Okay. He said that he was able to coax the creature into a bag to, like, get him, you know? And then he carried that bag home. And when he picked up the bag to go inside, the bag seemed to be much lighter than it was before. So he was like, what the heck? Maybe it got out. And when he looked inside, all he found was liquid in the bottom of the bag.
I should have known. It just turned itself into
water. It turned itself into water.
So there's not really a way to capture it.
Nope. There's really not. I mean, you can capture it, but then, you know, it'll just be liquid and then it'll be gone. So, yeah. It's said that if you are in the Hemlock Forest of Pennsylvania, you can occasionally hear what sounds like somebody weeping softly. And that is said to be the squonk crying to itself. Like, can you imagine walking through a forest and then you're just hearing a, like, light sobbing? And you're like, oh, no, it's okay. That's just a squonk.
That's so creepy.
That's so scary. I would be so scared if I heard crying in the woods. I would not think it was a squonk. I would think it was somebody trying to trick me and get me.
Yeah, I don't know what I would think it was. Like, but I, like, guess a ghost would come to mind.
Right. Well, now a squonk can come to mind and you can be less scared.
Yeah, maybe. True.
But yeah, honestly, I just really feel bad for squonks. And I want to give one a hug and tell them that they're not ugly, even though they kind of are, you know?
Right, yeah. See, it's what's inside that counts.
It is what's inside that counts, squonks. If you're listening, squonks, you don't have to hate yourself anymore, you know? But, you know, they just need some love. But yeah, that really is the legend of the squonk. I tried to find any other stories, but that's really all of the information I could find online. But what I do know for a fact is that Squonkapalooza has to happen next year.
Yes. I absolutely love this creature.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like, he's just so cute. And I don't know why I keep calling him a he. You know, there's...
I know. I was thinking the same thing. But, like, I was thinking the same thing.
I don't know. He's just, like, giving he energy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. Other than I just want to give him a hug. Even though he's... Mm-hmm. I can't lie. They are very ugly.
Yeah, like, if I actually saw one, I'd be like, ew.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, that's a naked mole rat.
And that's probably why it's crying that all the time, because people are like, ew.
They're like, ew, that's actually disgusting. Like, if somebody was saying ew and that's disgusting to me all the time, I would be sad too.
Yeah, so I get it.
Yeah, but we fully understand and stand with you, squonks. I also think the name is really funny.
Me too. Like, where did that come from?
I don't know. I tried to find it, and I think it's just a name that they gave them.
I love it.
You know, it's not. But it's crazy. I could not believe the science stuff. Like, a chemical squonk.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that. That's so cool. So cool.
Yeah.
But yes, definitely go check out our Instagram so you can see pictures from this week. Are there pictures to the road to nowhere? I'm sure there are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
I can't wait to see them.
I'll show you the tunnel.
Ew. Yeah, ew. Do you know if it's a long tunnel or short? I'm hoping it's short.
I don't think it's that long.
I've been in some real long tunnels. They scare me.
I mean, because the road itself's only 6 miles.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I don't think it's not that long.
That's true. Very true. But anyways, go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. But I don't really think I have anything else for you guys. What about you, Savannah?
I think that is it.
Okay, well, then I guess we will see you guys next week.
Cue the music.